to him who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him, being designated by God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It was the day we call Maundy Thursday. Jesus was celebrating the Passover with his disciples in the upper room. He washed their feet. He broke bread with them. And in breaking of the bread, he instituted the meal that we celebrate to this day, some 2,000 years later, the Lord's Supper, Holy Communion, for the forgiveness of sins. Judas had left to betray Jesus. Jesus went with the remainder of his disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane. He knew what was coming. He knew that he would be betrayed by Judas and denied by the rest of his disciples. He knew that he would be arrested. He knew that he would be put through an illegal rigged trial. And he knew that the next day he would be nailed to a cross. Remember, Jesus was fully God, so he knew what was going to happen to him. And Jesus was also fully human, so he knew just how much he was going to suffer over the next several hours. His suffering would be more than I think any mortal man could take. So Jesus went to Gethsemane. He went to pray, and pray he did. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplication with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. You know, in reading that passage, probably the first thing I notice is the doubling. Prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears. A doubling that indicates just how desperate Jesus was to avoid the pain that he was going to be going through. Pain is probably too weak a word. Torture would be a better word. He told his disciples, as it's recorded in Matthew, "My soul is sorrowful, even to the point of death." Jesus was not one to exaggerate. If his soul was sorrowful, even to the point of death, then that's how bad it felt for him. And I can't imagine what that feels like. Luke puts it this way in his Gospels. "And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground." You know, it really makes sense that Luke would report a detail like that, because Luke was, after all, a physician. So I decided to look that up. Did you know that sweating blood is an actual medical condition? I'm going to try not to massacre the name here. It's called hematidrosis. Hematidrosis is a condition in which capillary blood vessels, the ones that feed the sweat glands, will rupture, causing them to exude blood. This occurring under conditions of extreme physical or emotional stress. This is according to the National Institute of Health website. You know, a long time, I thought that was just like something Jesus did, but it's a real condition. Can you imagine the amount of stress that it would take for Jesus to be sweating blood? We've all been under high levels of stress at some point in our lives. The loss of loved ones, financial hardships, maybe losing a house, losing a job, or any of a number of other possibilities that alone are very stressful, but really add up when several happen real close together. But have you ever sweat blood? I haven't. And I certainly hope I never have to go through that much stress. But I know someone who did. His name is Jesus. And he did it for you because he loves you that much. Our text continues. "Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered." Now, let's not kid ourselves. Jesus knew about obedience long before he became man. But what he learned was the obedience of complete and total follow-through. This means that the Son, although he is as such naturally obeyed the Father, in the days of his flesh, when all his flesh and human nature recoiled, as it could not but recoil from the terrible death for the sin and guilt of the whole world, he learned through what he suffered the ultimate obedience. He learned it as a man learns by actually undergoing that suffering in obedience. What an incredible thing Jesus did for us, for you. He did this even before we were brought into the faith. He did it when we were still his enemies, lost in sin, not knowing him, and not knowing the love that he has for us. And despite our being his enemies, he willingly went through with this torturous death. Our passage continues, "And being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him, being designated by God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek." It was through that work that Jesus became the source of our salvation. His willingness to do it, despite every fiber of his being crying out against going through with this plan to save humanity. I call it insane because, from a human standpoint, it is. Who would go through all of this for a bunch of people that not only do you not know, but even for those who are against you? I think, well, who was against Jesus? Well, the first and obvious answer is the Pharisees and Sadducees. You know, there were an awful lot of those who really fought Jesus from the very beginning of his ministry. We have our own examples in our own lives. You know, like that neighbor who reports everything you do to your homeowners association and gets you in trouble with them. Or the pokey driver in front of you who won't move or move over so you can get up because you're going to be late for work. Or that person driving behind you who's trying to make you go faster just because they're in a hurry. Or my personal favorite, the person at the grocery store who stops and spends 10 minutes looking at boxes of potatoes, trying to find just the right one, and yells at you for passing them because you're closer than 6 feet to them as you pass. Jesus didn't just die for the good people. He died for all. He is the highest order of priest in the order of Melchizedek. What does that mean? You know, that good Lutheran question, what does this mean? Well, as one commentator put it, this is a guarantee that the work of redemption is complete, that it lies ready before all men, that God himself has acknowledged and accepted it. God has acknowledged and accepted Jesus' sacrifice as full and complete payment, as the all-sufficient work that it is. He died once for all, and we are saved. We're redeemed. We are children of the living God. We share in the eternal inheritance of Christ in heaven. We share in the eternal inheritance with Christ in heaven. That to me is just such an overwhelming thought. We will have all of eternity to praise our God, just as Paul, a former Pharisee, is doing now. So what does this have to do with answered prayer? Christ prayed. He begged God to take away the cup that he was being given. But that's not all he prayed. How did he pray? Matthew 26 puts it this way. "My Father, if it be possible, let this pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And in Luke's gospel, a similar report. "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. You know, the common thing in those passages is Christ prayed for what he wanted, but he finished it with, not my will, but yours be done. Jesus was then and is still a man and a God of prayer. He prays for us now in heaven. But back then, he wanted to avoid what he was about to go through with every fiber of his humanity. But in every petition he prayed, he added, but not my will, but yours be done. He knew that God's will would be done. And he demonstrated that he was willing to go through with what the plan was. Philippians puts it this way. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. That horrible death that we talk about, one of the slowest, most painfully horrific forms of execution ever concocted by man. For you, for me, for us, all of us. And as awful as it was, I am so grateful, beyond words can express, that Jesus was willingly did what he did. Without his work, we'd be stuck, condemned, without hope. But now we have hope, hope and a purpose in Christ. Christ's prayer was answered. He could not avoid the work without fulfilling God's will. And in the end, Jesus' prayer was answered. God's will was done. Our prayers have been answered. We have a God and a Savior who has made us, made a way for us to be redeemed. I know that we all pray as Christians, but every now and again, every so often, I hear of people saying that God didn't answer my prayers because I didn't get what I wanted. Well, that's a false perception. You can get what you pray for every time, 100%. That can change. No, I'm not becoming all name it and claim it on you. When you pray, pray for what you want to ask Jesus for. But use Jesus as your example. But God, not my will, but yours be done. Jesus prayed that. He's our teacher and our leader. That prayer will guarantee 100% every time your prayer is answered with a yes, because you're praying for God's will. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with us all. Amen.